Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy Mike. I'm here with Matt Stevens, the man who knows all things football for Illini guys, covers the Fighting Illini like a blanket, and you have seen article after article from him this week, and there's been a lot going on, but I will tell you, with the media only getting to watch 15 minutes of practice a day, there's just a certain amount that you can get from that. And I'm not certain that you're going to get the full court coverage that we would have if Matt had 2 hours of practice to watch and analyze and give his thoughts on. Same time, he's got an awful lot out there for us to chew on. And we thought we would bring him on here to stretch him to his limits on how much he can describe 15-minute practices. So Matt, you've had a whopping hour and 15 minutes of practice all week long. What general thoughts or themes have you been able to get with that small glimpse into the Fighting Illini?
Gee, boss, you think I've squeezed enough juice out of that out of the first week of practices? Is that what you're saying? Look, here's the deal. I'd love to sit there like, you know, my mentor and friend Bob Osmussen did for years and just watch practice all day and be able to figure out what this team's going to look like on August 28th. The sad part about it is that I think a lot of the subscribers on Illini guys and a lot of fans that sit in the stands on August 28th are going to learn just about the same time that I am about a lot of things. But I think there are some things that you can glean. The first thing I'll tell you, Mike, is that what are one of the biggest cliches you hear about like the summer or the off season? Well, the work that I've been doing with the strength coach has just been outstanding, right? I mean, Adam Fletcher might be the most important person on the basketball side since I don't know when, right?
Especially if he's right in front of you.
Sure, right? But the work that these guys did with Tank is noticeable. I'm talking about, you know, body transformations that I think are unbelievably noticeable. I'm going to mention two, and it's going to sound weird to you, Mike, but these are two guys where the weight that they're listed at hasn't changed from the spring, but I'm telling you the body has. One is Calvin Avery, who's right now slotted, I think, at backup defensive tackle, nose guard, in the 3-4 system. He's still listed at 335 pounds. Mike, I've literally sat in the north end zone right behind him. If his body isn't different than what it was in the spring or last year or the year before, then I don't know what the hell I'm looking at, because this kid looks different. He looks committed, and he looks like you might be able to get 30 to 35 snaps out of him in a game. Wow. And honestly, out of Calvin, that's about what, you know, Lovey's always wanted out of him the last few years anyway. Yep. And I think they're going to get it out of him in a sense. He was made to play the nose guard in this 3-4 system. And I think that the light bulb has come on maybe just simply because of that fact, because he's playing right now where it's Rod Perry and Jamal Woods and him. And that's it. Until they brought Vertus Brown over to defensive tackle, Mike, those are your three defensive tackles. Terrence Jameson's hadn't had a whole lot of numbers to work with, so there's a lot of one-on-one action going on here, like, in terms of coaching. The other one is Daniel Barker.
Yeah.
And I'll put this in perspective you can understand, Mike. I saw him without pads on the first day, and I thought I was watching a basketball player. Wow. I really was. And I think from an athleticism standpoint and from a you know, just a body transformation standpoint, where you're just trying to turn him into a big receiver and make him. Daniel's big problem, honestly, was that he wasn't physical enough. Luke Ford got a lot of playing time last year because they wanted him in on you know, outside rushes a lot more. And they actually put Daniel Barker out, slotted him out as a wide receiver, like even as a tight, enlisted as a tight end. I just see a very lean, athletic body out of Daniel Barker. He's still listed at 250 pounds, but I promise you the body fat is lower and the conditioning is better. And I really think you're going to see a breakout year out of him. The obvious body changes are Shimon Cooper, so that when he moves from inside linebacker to the outside linebacker now with Kevin Kane, where it's you're right now, if what I'm seeing is correct in these 15 minutes, he's working with his guys nonstop on going forward. They're not worried about them backpedaling right now. When you go and when Shimon goes from 200 to 220 pounds, you know what's going on here is that he's got to basically try to get off blocks. And if he can do that, he could eventually become a player. There's other guys, you know, like on the offensive line, you're talking about Alex Pilstrom's finally now at over 300 pounds. That's a guy 2 years ago you're talking about was a walk-on tight, undersized tight end who's now, as Brett Bielema has talked about, he looks like an offensive lineman, looks like a Big Ten offensive lineman. He acts like a Big Ten offensive lineman. Now we just got to get him to play like one. And yep. You talk about depth up, you know, up front that he's going to want for not only just this year, but later years. I think that's going to be a big key. Once again, I think we talked about it all last year before COVID hit, but Brandon looks physically like a different kind of person again. Like Brandon keeps getting, you know, more athletic, more physical, more fit, and it shows. I think the work that he's doing over in the summer and, you know, in Arizona with Kurt Warner is really starting to work out. And I can see it with him. And, you know, I could name a couple of several other guys. But when you're just trying to look at 15 minutes, Mike, I'm starting to look at guys that might just be look like different human beings out there. And that has to be the program that Brett Bielema and strength coach Tank Wright have come up with. And I think it's going to pay off, maybe not in the win total in 2021, but I think it might pay off in the win total for 2022, Mike, because I know we've got a lot of subscribers on our boards that just think 2022 is going to be this albatross. And I'm not saying it's not, or it is, but I'm saying, you know, if you can get these guys to commit to off season workout plans, you know, it's going to pay off in seasons that you might think there's going to be a dip, and that would be 2022. The long-term build here is starting to work out well, and you can see that just with the guys and how they look.
Yeah, Tank was the type of gentleman who is able to inspire others. We saw that in the media day when we got to tour the Smith Center, and Tank was just amazing. You know, he got a bunch of guys fired up about walking around in the weight room. And he's got that capability. We're actually going to have him on an upcoming Eye on the Illini because awesome. you talk about a good guest. That man is enthusiastic about walking from one side of the room to the other. And you can see how that would be infectious when you're expected to go into a weight room and put yourself through grueling pain to get better for some point in time that could be up to 6 months away. And you need a guy like that. So that's awesome that we're seeing guys, you know, getting that type of improvement.
You know, two quick points, Mike, on that. One is cliches are cliches sometimes for a reason.
Yep.
The second most important coach on a football coaching staff is usually the strength coach. And people don't really understand that. Mickey Marotti is a guy that has basically made Urban Meyer millions of dollars, who's been his strength coach ever since he's been at Florida.
Yep.
Came with him to Ohio State, and you saw the difference. You just saw the physical difference of some of those guys. When you look at guys like, you know, where Tank Wright came from in Michigan and who he's been working for, well, he worked for Brett Bielema's guy. Like, the guy at Michigan right now is the guy that was Brett Bielema's strength coach at both Wisconsin and at Arkansas. So his tutor is Brett Bielema's guy. And so Tank was the perfect choice. And I'll say it was a really important choice for Brett. And I'll say it this way. I know a lot of our subscribers and I know a lot of our fans really don't like a lot of the staff choices that Lovey made, Lou Hernandez was an excellent strength coach for the University of Illinois, unbelievably good at his job. And Brett had to bring in a guy that was going to match that type of effort and type of execution and type of numbers. I think he did that with Tank.
Yeah. And, you know, it is amazing. You know, you go into Marvel Comics and the superheroes, you know, they all have their superpowers. You know, the Hulk's sure. the strongest one there is, you know, Spider-Man can stick to walls. And the thing that Brett Bielema is making me eat my words on a daily basis is I kept thinking when he first got hired, I'm like, Wisconsin style linemen are not going to come to Illinois to play football. And he keeps recruiting Wisconsin style linemen. And then just, he seems to have this aura that just like gets offensive line play to improve. And I will tell you that everywhere I've ever watched football, and I don't ever claim to be the expert that you are with your years at Auburn and Mississippi State, covering Purdue and now Illinois. Sure. But I've never seen a team that you go, you know what, their line was too good. Nobody's ever said that before. Right. You know, just like in basketball, you're not like you never tell a player you need to sit down because your ball handling and shooting is too good. Right. And somehow this man seems to elevate the play of an offensive line just by his mere presence. And let's hope that he can keep attracting this talent because you've got a guy like Tank to develop it. Illinois football is going to be really, really fun to watch. If we start talking about Travis Fredericks, but instead of coming from Wisconsin, they're coming from Illinois. And I'd like to see a few more all-pro offensive linemen from the University of Illinois.
You know, if you want to go down that road, Mike, you know, I think one of the most impressive guys on this staff right now is Bart Miller, who's the offensive line coach at Illinois right now.
Yep.
And again, I say this to say this. I thought Bob McLean was a really good offensive line coach. And I know the guys played hard for him. And I think he did really, really well with what he was presented with. And I actually think from a recruiting standpoint, I know there weren't a whole lot of great recruiters on Lovie's staff. Bob did a pretty good job. And it was interesting because it was kind of his first, you know, entry into, you know, big time college football. And he actually did a good job. He recruited Josh Kreutz. He recruited Brody Wise Carver. He recruited, you know, he got Doug Kramer basically to be excited about coming to Illinois. I think Doug would have probably come here if you or I would have been the offensive line coach. But Verdarian Lowe's development into what I think is going to be an NFL draft pick come this next April. I mean, that has a lot to do with Bob. But I think Bart Miller has an ability to you hear it when you talk about it with Doug Kramer, who Bart was a, you know, South Side or suburb of Chicago guy. Doug Kramer's a suburb of Chicago guy, recruited Doug Kramer when he was at Florida Atlantic. I mean, he has a connection there. And so he can take, and what I also enjoy in the 15 minutes that I actually do watch is that there is an intensity about how violent that he wants his guys to be and how, you know, we'll figure out the steps and we'll figure out like on film, how I want you to be better, you know, from a fundamental standpoint. I don't want to coach effort. I can't, not with you guys. I can't do it. And he's not. I mean, I think that there's an instant credibility there with him. I think that there's an instant ability for, you know, Brett Bielema to single out Josh Kreutz, who has now 5 days of being in an Illinois uniform and go, yeah, I like that kid.
Yeah.
That kid's going to be really good. I'm not saying he's going to be Travis Frederick, an All-American, a first-round draft pick, but the bloodline is there. And eventually, we're talking about kids that are going to be in the mix for 2022. But, I mean, you're sitting there. I think the development of a Julian Pearl, a kid from Danville, who I think has a shot to start at right guard, you know, this year. That's an open spot right now. And we don't know who's going to fill it. Or he could start at right tackle right now if Alex Palcheski's not ready. And I think the plan that they had, the maintenance day plan that they have for Alex Palcheski is just so freaking smart that I can't. I was really afraid that they were going to try to pound the pavement with him from day one. And Brett's just not as dumb as people want to make him out to be sometimes. And I think that he and Bart Miller have figured out, you know, and I really think you can credit Bill Belichick for this one, because Brett figured out when he was in the NFL that maintenance days are actually going to be a thing, not only in the NFL, but in college football come really soon. So if they can't get Paucho, like, I think that they're going to throw Julian Pearl out at right tackle. I mean, but that's a kid right now that is incredibly valuable to this offensive line. You're talking about, I think, maybe the best offensive line at Illinois since, you know, God, and they went to the Rose Bowl. I mean, yeah. Martin O'Donnell will kill me if I say that, but like, that's about the best one that I think they've had. And I think it's going to be that way. I think you're going to want, if Illinois is going to be good, Mike, and I know you were concerned about it, but the Josh Kreutzes and the Brody Weisskarvers and the, you know, all of these commitments, they've got to be your key players.
Yep. I agree. Forward.
And and then you've got to find, and I think they have some tailbacks that can actually tote the water for a long time. And I think that they're going to find that, but I think that what has to be considered, and when you watch these 15 minutes, you start to understand very, very quickly, is two things. I think if they can avoid injury, their offensive line is going to be pretty good. And then you start to look at the running back room and go, wow, that's pretty deep. You know, Chase Brown's pretty good. And Chase Hayden was really good with Brett at Arkansas. And if he can stay healthy, he's pretty good. And God knows Corey Patterson knows how good Reggie Love can be, because he won him a freaking state championship over at Trinity Catholic. So if your running back room's good and your offensive line room's good and Brett Bielema is your head coach, that gives you a lot of encouragement if you're an Illinois fan to think, you know, I know people say we're only going to win 3 or 4 games. Hi, I'll raise my hand. I might be one of those people, but there's a chance that 6-7 wins could happen if Brett has the right pieces. And I'm sorry, but running back and O-line is usually the chess piece that he usually likes to use on often. And that could be an indicator that Illinois is going to have a really good year this year.
Yeah. And I love the interviews, and you do a great job. For those people who are subscribed to IlliniGuys.com, this will be a little bit old, and I apologize for that, but you do a great job of posting the interviews back in the subscription section where people can really listen to what Coach B or other coaches or even players are talking about. And one of the things that I find most intriguing is that Coach B is constantly talking about things that he learned in the NFL. And by definition, we saw what he did at Wisconsin, because it got rammed down Illinois fans' throats every right. year. So we saw what he did there. And I keep thinking, you know, what he did there, what he did in Arkansas. And now he's got additional tools that he didn't have back in those days. And I realize that he doesn't have the roster that he had at Wisconsin yet. But what did he learn in the NFL that's going to tweak that makes him harder to scout and also gives him, you know, like I said, a different tool? One of the things I always laugh about is when people talk about they prefer to do things a certain way versus another certain way when it right. comes to sports, because I look at that as, I've never seen a carpenter come into a house and say, I love screwdrivers and I use a screwdriver on every single project. And then they proceed to try to screw in a nail. You know, you would be like, I know you love a screwdriver, but use a darn hammer when you have a nail. Right. And I like the idea of Coach B having more tools that he can pick from for the appropriate time. And I'm not saying he wasn't a good coach, because his records, you know, speaks for itself. But, you know, he's constantly throwing in little things that I look at as he got from Belichick, just like you mentioned. And I'm thinking, if I'm going to get a smattering of things that I learned to help me be a better football coach, if it comes from Belichick or Saban, it's probably going to be pretty good. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed. I don't know if you've noticed that in the interviews or what your thoughts are about that.
One of my favorite things, and I think this is why we're only getting 15 minutes, right, is one of my favorite things that we got from Brett early on in the process, maybe like the first interview he did when he got hired, was in his head, he's like, I've got to hire two coordinators I've never worked with. That was so fundamentally different, Mike, than I've ever had with anybody else I've ever dealt with in my entire career covering college football. Because Brett immediately thought outside the box and said, I don't want people to be able to go back and watch Wisconsin and go watch Arkansas and go, okay, that's what they're going to do. Like, yep. And we heard it in Indy a couple weeks ago with Scott Frost, where he's like, I really like, we're going to go back and watch, but like, I have to go watch App State and Marshall stuff from way back when, because Tony Peterson's their offensive coordinator. And I have to go back and watch Missouri stuff and Barry Odom's Missouri stuff with Ryan Walters, because that's, and so Brett understands, like, I can't keep, like, this game isn't the same game I coached in 2010, like at Wisconsin and won Big Ten championships with. It's not the same game. I can use the same philosophy. I can use a similar philosophy, but I can't keep thinking that this game hasn't evolved and this game hasn't changed. And that's where I think we're getting like the lack of access, but I also think we're getting a Brett Bielema that like understands, you know, I've got to start doing things a little bit differently. Otherwise this game's going to pass me by and I don't want that to happen. And like, I'll give a little tidbit right now is that it would, and it sounds really dumb, right?
Yep.
So, but Friday was the first day, Mike, that they were out on those grass fields that are basically outside of the Smith Center.
Yep.
And Brett mosey on over and walks over to me and he goes, I got to ask you, like, is this usually the condition these fields are in, like in August, like all the time? He says, because I've got three grass games and I've really got to use this stuff. Like, I got to keep this stuff, you know, upright. Like, I got to keep this turf upright if I'm going to go practice on grass and yada, yada, yada. And he's starting to talk to me about how he wanted the field lined differently out there, like in the grass. He understands, he has a plan. Like, he has a plan and he goes, look, he says, and I don't want to call him out, but like, there's a part of those grass fields just simply because of like how the shade works and how it gets water and all that stuff. That's basically harsh right now. Like, and he goes, if my guys are going to sink like halfway into, if I have them over there. So that's why we're not over there right now.
Right.
But
right.
I told Brett, I said, yeah, but Brett, like when it gets to be October and November or, you know, late October, you know, you're going to be fine using that stuff. And like, he goes, yeah, he says, I think I want to split it up a little bit, you know? But that's just him thinking outside the box and going like, hey, I've got to get my guys like, you know, comfortable with, you know, their grass shoes before, because if we practice every day in Memorial Stadium, they're just using field turf shoes. And I didn't even think about that. And yeah. It sounds stupid, but like, I didn't think about it. And he's telling me, he goes, yeah, for our skill position guys, they've got to get used to it. He goes, our offensive linemen could give a damn. Like, right. They're going to play in the same stuff anyway. It doesn't matter. But our skill guys need to get used to that. And he's this maintenance day thing is, I think it's going to become a thing. And I think Brett's on the way up with that. And I've got a story, Mike, that's going to come up on the line, I guess, really quickly about Corey Patterson. Frankly, and I don't think that I'm talking out of school, Corey wouldn't have been the guy on the staff that I retained, but Brett's smarter than I am. So he retained Corey and now he's given him a really big responsibility position at tailback, because if you're playing tailback for Brett Bielema, guess what? You're going to have to produce. And Corey has said, so he's like, this dude has been a head coach for 12 years. He's had 13,000 yard backs. I can't be the guy that this doesn't work with. Like, if you're Corey Patterson. And from that standpoint, Mike, we've talked about it with Illini basketball assistants, right? If Corey Patterson wants his career to go somewhere, guess what? Like, I think I looked it up, like the last five running backs coaches for Brett Bielema somehow ended up in the NFL at one point. I don't know if Corey wants to be in the NFL, but if Corey wants his career to progress, like, this is a great way to do it. I'm telling you that right now. And so, I mean, I think Brett is putting together a plan, a long-term plan. And clearly we're seeing in fall camp, he's putting together the short-term plan, because he's playing mind games with Scott Frost right now on August 6th. And Scott Frost has practically admitted, look, it's going to work. Like, the mind games are going to work, because we're going to get into the middle of the first quarter and we're going to have to adjust to something. Like,
right.
And that's just smart. But I think that there are a lot of things right now that they're tinkering with that I think are going to be interesting, not only on offense, but on defense, about how this team is going to look.
Well, I'm really all very interested in watching how, you know, Coach Bielema pays attention to the small details, you know, coming, coming from the NFL, but more particular coming from Belichick's coaching tree, you know, everything in the NFL is about parity. You know, the draft, if you finish first, you draft last. You know, if you've got a really, really good quarterback, that means your salary cap means you don't have as much money to pay your offensive line. So you've got to have every little detail buttoned down. And I've always thought that's where Bill Belichick beats everybody. I think he was very similar to Vince Lombardi, who would show, you know, the Lombardi sweep. And he said, I'll show you how to run it because I can coach it better than any of you guys can. And we're going to run it better than any of you guys can. So here it is. And he would, you know, put it up on a board and actually let the rest of the league see how it's done. And I do think that Coach Bielema seems to have gotten that attention to detail. And I'll tell you what, it's in some ways, while the NFL is all about parity and it makes it kind of a monstrous world to compete in, college football might be a little scarier because Ohio State's going to be ahead of you. They're going to have more money. They're going to have, you know, recruits looking at them because of their tradition, et cetera, which means the guys at Illinois can't afford to leave a single I without a dot on it or T that's not crossed. And I kind of feel like that attention to detail that he has is going to make a difference as game preparations go on. And obviously, I'm like you. I think this is a team that I see it as a 5-7, 4-7 win team, depending on health. And sometimes I know coaches don't like this, but I've coached a lot. Sometimes you need the ball to bounce your direction at an appropriate time. And I think if things go well, I think this team can excel. I'm just worried about the spate of injuries that sometimes happens to certain teams. It's not like it's an Illinois thing. It's just right. A bad luck thing.
I can address that. Yeah, I can address that quickly, which is like when we got Brett on Thursday, he was absolutely thrilled at the idea that he hates what happened to Jordan Slaughter, but he absolutely loves the idea that that's really the only injury that he thinks that significantly has happened so far, and they've been 4 days into camp. Right. Quite honestly, like the players have kind of said, I mean, Brett kind of snickered at it, Bielema kind of snickered at it, but the players have kind of said, it's been a little bit more of a physical camp than we've had in the past. Like, and the only major injury right now is Jordan Slaughter. Like, they've had a couple of, you know, things happen, but you know, I documented Sidney Brown's left wrist. He'd play tomorrow if they asked, like if they had to play a game, like, you know. What I can tell you, adding on to that, Mike, is that there's two issues here. One is that I believe that Brett Bielema has put a staff together that has just, I think it's been underrated how impressive it was. I'll go back to a guy that you watched when he was in an Illini jersey. I think one of the most impressive guys on the staff is Jordan McDonald. There's a reason why that guy has the assistant head coaching tag on him.
Yep.
He is coaching, in my opinion, the most important position at Illinois right now because they are so devoid of talent at the wide receiver position. If George McDonald can make some form of lemonade out of this, then Illinois is going to probably play in the postseason this year and probably could compete for a bowl bid. Because this is just, I mean, the 14th most talented and 14th most experienced wide receiver core in the Big Ten. And it's not close. The second thing is that Mike, I've been very consistent in how I approached this season. And it's been check back with me after the opener.
Yeah.
Because I have an idea of what I think this team's going to be today on August 6th. But if they beat Nebraska in the opener and look darn good doing it, I have to completely rethink everything that I've thought about this season and about this program immediately, because I think Nebraska's going to a bowl game. I think Scott's got his most talented team that he's had at Nebraska, and they finally have, you know, unleashed Adrian Martinez, which I can't figure out why they didn't figure out to do it before then.
Right.
If they beat them and they're a 10-point, like 7-10-point home dog doing it, I mean, that puts a lot of stuff back on the table that I didn't think was gonna be there. And I don't want to play the schedule game because injuries happen and yada yada. Yep. People and teams. And Big Ten is different in the sense, Mike, that teams get better from September to November in the Big Ten. And I didn't find that in the SEC a whole bunch. Like,
right.
So this league just pops up and kind of like, you know, can surprise you by the time a couple of months, you know, file out. But I think that this team, just check back with me after the opener. Because honestly, if they get dump trucked by Nebraska too, then I think Brett's got to take a step back and go, oh boy, I can't be losing week two against UTSA either. Like that's, you know, and so that becomes an issue. What I want to address though, like if you wanted to like wrap this up is like, I think the idea that I think Brandon has looked solid. And I think Peters is a guy that I think is, I think it's been underrated how well he's kind of adapted to this system and how much I think Tony Peterson is really going, hey, Brandon, do you like this? I mean, it's going to be a situation where, look, this isn't Trevor Lawrence. Like, this isn't a guy that you just hand an offense to and say, right, make it work. But he is a guy, Brandon, as a six-year senior, where you can pull him over to the sideline and say, hey, Brandon, I got two or three things here. What do you like? Like, what do you like here? Like, and I think his football intelligence is vastly underrated. And I think his ability to figure out, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, like, and I learned this from Tommy Tuberville over in Auburn, like, live to punt sometimes. Like, and if Illinois figures out, hey, live to punt, like, maybe this defense is actually going to be able to stop some people. Like, I think there's a lot of talent there. I've said before, I think wide receiver is a position group that I think needs to step up. And specifically, I think Brian Hightower needs to step up and be a primary target. They need to find somebody else with speed so that Donnie Navarro doesn't have to be the other outside receiver. But yep. Donnie Navarro is maybe the best safety blank that anybody could ever ask for.
Right.
I think they need a poor man's version of Braxton Miller transformation out of Isaiah Williams. I don't know if they're going to get it, but I think they need it. And then you flip it over. And I think that, you know, Aaron Henry needs to get something out of this corner group. I think it's safety. Surprisingly enough, when you watch 15 minutes of Illinois, you start to realize, hey, I think they're pretty good at safety. I think Quan Martin's pretty good. I think Sidney Brown is really, really developing into his own and becoming a veteran in this group. I think Prater Hudson can help you if he's limited in what you ask him to do athletically. I think he can help you tremendously on special teams. And he's a locker room guy that you have to have. And I understand why he was one of Brett's first guys that he went out and got. But safety, they're pretty good. At corner, it's Tony Adams, Devin Witherspoon, and oh my God, I don't know what else they're going to do. And you and I both know, Mike, that teams are going to spread you out and you're going to have to cover with a lot of people. So there's going to be some young guys, I think, at corner that they're going to have to develop. I like Aaron Henry. I think he has a lot of background that I really like. You're talking about somebody that, you know, at NC State, you know, did a really good job early on in his career, got to move on to coach with, you know, first of all, he got started with Brett and, you know, and Dave Aranda over at Wisconsin playing and playing for Brett and coaching with Brett. Then he moves on to NC State. Then he moves on to Vanderbilt with Derek Mason, who I think is one of the best defensive coaches in the country right now. And so his pedigree and his resume tells me, and his intensity that you can – he's one of the guys that you can audibly hear, like when you go out there to Memorial Stadium right now and watch.
Yeah.
And I think they're drawn to him. So I think that the two most important spots right now where they have a desert, you know, divulge of talent right now, and that's wide receiver and DB, they have two excellent coaches that can actually figure this out. Where I am concerned a little bit is in terms of numbers. And I didn't understand this. Mike, we had a lot of guys on our board right now. I mean, I've had conversations with him. Our Illini guy, Steve, and I talk about offensive line all the time, right? Yep. And he is unbelievably concerned that they've moved Vertus Brown to defensive tackle because it's going to limit the offensive line depth. It's a fair point. I don't want to argue with Steve on this. But then I went down to the north end zone, Mike, and I realized how many guys are in Terrence Jameson's practice group right now. Okay. And I can actually name them. And then usually I don't even have to go to a roster. But like I told you before, it's Rod Perry, Calvin Avery, Jamal Woods, and now it's Vertus Brown. Those are your four defensive tackles. they need to stay healthy. All of those guys. And with Jamal Woods, it's been a task and a half to keep him healthy, like throughout his career. So those guys have got to stay healthy. Keith Randolph has ballooned up to 300 pounds from 270 in the spring, which, I mean, you talk about another body transformation, but he's leading a group that is like, you got Ezekiel Holmes and guys that just haven't really done a whole lot. Haven't been asked to do a whole lot, you know, on that defensive end spot. Johnny Newton is finally moved to the position that I think he should have been playing all along. But there's not a whole lot of depth up front at the line. I know you're only going to play three guys in an odd man front, but boy, those guys have got to stay healthy and they've got to start recruiting D linemen. Because there's just not a whole lot of depth, but there's not a whole lot of guys short of, I think, Rod Perry that they're going to be missing next year. So there's a developmental process. By the way, I'll also say, I know firsthand, if there's one defensive coach that Jeff Brohm wanted to keep, and he didn't want to keep many, but Terrence Jamerson's one of them.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. I think that's, and so I have no earth. So here's the overall summary. I have no earthly idea what Illinois is doing with their offensive, with their outside linebackers. Kevin Kane only has them working in individual groups right now. I have no idea from a scheme perspective what the heck Adrian Martinez is going to be looking at in that first series.
Yep.
But I know that from a technique standpoint, he's doing some really, really good things. So D-line is really the only depth issue right now that I see that Illinois could be in a tough spot if they start to get some nicks and some injuries there. That's what you start to notice very, very quickly when you're out there for the short amount of time that we're out there. And I don't know, like, you know, I haven't heard a whole lot about him as a coach, but Ben Miller's got a tight end room right now that I think is a lot deeper than Illinois fans really think and actually are giving these guys credit for. Because we all know how talented Luke Ford was coming out of high school, and I'm not going to deny it. The kid is absolutely gifted, right? But I've already said that I think Daniel Barker is set for a breakout year if he can get more consistent in everything that he needs to be doing. He just needs to. I mean, it's a cliche that these coaches think he just needs to stack days where he's doing everything right. If he does, he gains confidence, and he's already been a great safety blanket for Brandon in the pass game. If he can get a little bit more physical, I mean, and they can play him on three downs, I mean, the sky's the limit for Daniel. But Brandon, there's another, I can't, and this is audio, and I wish I could, but there is a tight end from Abilene Christian through Nebraska, and I can't begin to pronounce his last name. It's Holston, but I think he's going to play a lot. I've seen him. He's 250 pounds. He's a legit graduate transfer that can play and can contribute and is athletically gifted and is physical and is exactly the kind of tight end you would think out of, you know, a Brett Bielema 12 package, which is why I want two tight ends on the field. Right. I think Dick Ryman has a chance to actually play. And you're talking about a former walk-on there and a guy that I don't think anybody thought we'd be talking about on August 6th, but there's a lot of guys right now in that tight end room. I know they've moved a whole bunch of guys. Max Rosenthal right now looks like a guy who is a classic H-back that I've seen before. And he could have an impact on this team. You know, there's some guys in Ben Miller's room right now that I think are going to be pretty solid. And then the last part about this is that I think Tony Peterson. You know what? You know, Mike, I think if there's one thing that we've gotten a sense of, and it hasn't been in our 15 minutes, but it's been in the interviews. I kind of thought Tony Peterson would hide a lot more of what he wants to do offensively. He comes out in the first interview and goes, look, we like our tight ends. And by God, like if we want to go into a 12 package right now, we feel pretty good about it. And I'm sitting there and I'm going like, that's a guy who understands I'm just trying to get 11 guys on the field that can help us. And what I'm more interested in, and I've literally seen 0 seconds of this because we only get individual period, 15 minutes of individual periods. But Illinois, I think, is sneaky deep at tight end. And what does that mean? Because that means you're probably taking a wide receiver off the field.
Right.
So I am very, very intrigued about the idea of how is Illinois going to, how and Tony Peterson going to wrap his head around the idea that I want to use big packages, but yet we got to get number one the football. Like, not every chance we can get, but enough chances that he can make an impact. Because athletically, Isaiah is just gifted. And it's just, it is so hard to deny when you watch him in wide receiver drills how athletically gifted he absolutely is. And, you know, it's that's the part of the offense that intrigues me. How are they going to try to get into the lab and get creative to get number one the football? And that's, you know, sorry, Mike, I've been long-winded on this, but those are the things that we're not going to know until August 28th. But I do know that this coaching staff feels good about what they're doing out there right now. And I do think that this coaching staff, what I was so worried about, Mike, is that I think that this coaching staff was going to have such a short-term plan that the long-term build was going to get awesome. Screwed up.
Yep.
I think that Brett has figured out how to do short-term and long-term and kind of try to wrap it into one thing. And I think that that's got to be encouraging for Illinois fans. I don't know what it's going to look like in terms of wins and losses. I don't think anybody does, but I'm mildly encouraged by like what I've seen, and the reason for that is because it hasn't looked sloppy. It just has not looked sloppy. And I don't see a whole lot of coaches. Again, I'm only watched 15 minutes per day, but I don't see a whole lot of coaches coaching effort right now. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the excitement of the new coach and the 22 super seniors that have come back and said, hey, this is how we do things. But I think there's a lot that could be said for, you know, Brett Bielema has injected at least that part into Illinois football that I think a lot of people have been kind of desiring over the last few years.
Yep. Well, thanks for that. That's a great wrap on the first week. And as we take a look forward, we're real excited here at Illini Guys we want people to circle on their calendar that weekend of August 20th. That will be the first week of the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular radio show. Check your local listings to see what time we are on in your neighborhood. But right now we're sitting on a few more than 20 radio stations across the state of Illinois that will be playing our show. You might have to look to see, sometimes it's Fridays, sometimes it's Saturdays, but we will be broadcast before the football game on the weeks that there is one. And of course, we will be debuting the week prior to the first Illini game. And we are working on such guests as Coach Bielema. And, you know, maybe even down the line, we get lucky and get somebody like Coach Underwood. And we're also looking at some of the past Illini greats to get on the radio show, try to make it a fun experience for everybody, and also get you up to date on the Illini of today, the Illini of the past, and make sure that you know what's going on. So circle that date on your calendar, folks. And of course, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, whether you live halfway across the United States or halfway across the planet Earth, IlliniGuys.com is the only place to stay in the know. Thank you very much, and we will hear you all next week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Was it easy leaving the group chat when the bubbles turned green and every message was Cam likes this and Claire dislikes that?
Oh yes, yes it was, because I get enough overreacting at home.
Like liking messaging again with WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down. But when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families, where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.